Timothy 1:12. 2 Timothy 1:12. All right, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to just talk about you and to preach your word, Lord, and just to open your book and to study it a little bit better. And hopefully, Lord, we'll leave here knowing and understanding it a little bit better. Thank you again just for everybody that's here, and we pray for the ones that aren't able to be here. Just pray, Lord, for sicknesses and illnesses and things and just aches and pains, and help them. And Lord, we pray for our country coming up here this election. Lord, it's a mess and a lot of problems around, but Lord, we know that you're in control and you win, and we appreciate that. In Jesus' name, amen. So the topic of my sermon here today is probably not something anybody really wants to hear, but shame on you. Shame on you. All right, so I need to preface today's lesson with a short disclaimer. You understand that each one of us has pet peeves. You know, and I guess that's just something that peeves you, and I'm not quite sure what that even means. I was going to actually look that up in the Bible. I'm not sure. But I probably have a lot of pet peeves. You know, but I believe that some people become cops so that they can arrest people or give tickets to people for their pet peeves. And maybe, you know, sometimes people, they become a cop, then they realize they can concentrate on doing just that. I hated that, the ticket-giving part of being a cop. I hated that. But you have to write so many tickets, and, you know, they have that quota. And I would write a bunch of the seatbelt tickets. But I would always give that person that was speeding a ticket for the seatbelt. You know, so then I ended up, I'd have, you know, a guy who I just gave a ticket, and he's going to buy, you know, he's leaving thanking me. You know, but you had to write those tickets. But I had pet peeves while I was in the police department and DUI, you know, because they hurt people. People who are driving under the influence of alcohol. That's one of my pet peeves. I know that people shouldn't be doing that because that can hurt me or kill a loved one or me. What's the other one? Oh, a cracked windshield. The trucks that would be dropping rocks from the back of their trucks. Be careful. Ron probably dropping corn out of the back of his, cracking everybody's windshields. No, but that used to be one of my pet peeves. So I would see a truck and I would pull them over. I think it's because one time I got my window broken, and probably all of us have had that, you know. A rock comes out of the truck, it bounces up and it hits your window and breaks it. So, but we all have these pet peeves. My point is that you would have this pet peeve and you would do something about it. If you're afforded the opportunity, like a badge and a gun kind of gave me the opportunity to work on that and to do something about one of those things that I considered my pet peeve. Well, we have these things that bother us, and we want others to do right. Our knowledge of Jesus Christ ought to be like that. It ought to be one of our pet peeves that people are dying and going to hell, and no one is telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life. So this verse I read, 2 Timothy 1:12, that's a good verse. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. We know we should not be ashamed. You should not have to suffer the shame. So this topic today is mostly for all those people who couldn't be here today. Because I'm sure I'm going to be preaching at them. I won't name them by names, you know, unless, you know, the opportunity arises. But, you know, because nobody wants to hear me in here saying, shame on you, or shame on you, or shame on you, or shame on you. All right, we don't want to hear that. But I have to tell you this other story. The other day, and some of you have heard this already, some of my day of that, a week or so ago, I went down to Indianapolis looking for an aunt of mine. Actually, not an aunt. She's really just a cousin. like my mom's cousin, my second cousin, or something like that. And to make a long story even longer, she had some health issues. She had a son that was supposed to be taking care of her, but was instead ripping her off financially. She had a home in Florida, and he put a big second mortgage on it and spent the money foolishly, and, you know, ripping off, you know, anything that she had and spending her money. But then, as I used to say, he got ROBT, run over by a truck. He did. He got run over by a truck and killed, and I was, like, shocked. We just saw them on the 4th of July, and he got killed. And our side of the family didn't even hear about it for 2 weeks after that he got killed, and I was a little bit surprised with that. And then the next we heard, my cousin had been was moved up to Indianapolis from Florida up to Indianapolis with her son's daughter. And we knew that that situation wasn't all that good. We knew that there was some difficulties and, you know, some possible drug use in the family and different things like that. And so me and my mom, we were kind of worried about it. And then we can't reach her on the cell phone. So I'm trying to reach her on the cell phone for several weeks, and she had a cell phone number, and it just went straight to a voicemail. And we, you know, I got thinking something bad had happened, kind of like an Aunt Hazel situation where I ended up flying to Arizona and rescuing her. But, you know, we thought maybe it was something like that. And so I went on a search and rescue mission, and the Lord was with me. And again, we did do a lot of praying about this, and he paved the way for me to locate her. And I went down there not knowing. I just had a list of addresses. Oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to find her? But I went down there, and luckily, in the Lord's intervention, I got a phone call from the granddaughter, and she said, well, she's in the hospital. So I was able to go to the hospital and find her. But she had also, it's a longer and longer story, so I'll keep it a little bit shorter. But I ended up being able to visit her, and it happened to be her 82nd birthday. And I get there at the hospital, and there's one card on her table, and that was from the hospital staff. And she had been in there for 2 weeks. And I'm thinking, how sad. You know, that's just really sad. And some of the situation was self-inflicted. You know, some of it's just, you know, her not putting her foot down and saying this and that and being able to straighten things out. But the thing that got me the most, and the thing that got me to thinking, and the thing that got me to today's topic and lesson was, I did not know if this relative of mine was saved or not. And Scott, you were praying, you know, family members and this and that. And I didn't know if she was saved. And here she is, 82 years old. And in all my conversations with her, I couldn't tell if she understands salvation and the way to be saved, let alone if she is saved herself. And while I was there, of course, you know, I made a special effort to try to talk to her about it. You know, I went out of my way to, you know, to bring it up, and we talked about it, and all she could really say was that, well, yeah, she's looking forward to the pearly gates, you know, upon me inquiring about it. But then she quickly changed the subject, and on my way home, I thought, shame on you, cousin, for not being excited and happy about the salvation and being able to explain that happiness to others, and especially me. I mean, maybe she figured that I was already saved or whatever. I don't know. But maybe she's not saved and she doesn't understand it and I need to push it yet further. But shame on her for not making it clear. And here we have a perfect Bible in our hand. That's a perfect Bible. We all say it. Oh, we got a perfect Bible. Well, we got this perfect Bible and it's in our hand. We have a perfect Jesus Christ in our heart. We have all this knowledge in our head. Uh-oh. We're going to be in the 3H club today, not the 4H. I don't even know what 4H really stands for, but... Huh? 2H. No, head, hand. The Bible's in our hand. We have a perfect Jesus Christ in our heart. And the other one, knowledge in our head. But we keep silent. But we keep silent. That makes me say, shame on you. We need to break this pattern. We need to get excited about our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We need to get excited about it. I don't want people in here to get to be 82 years old and have anybody in their family saying, gee, I wonder if Aunt so-and-so is saved. You know, a family member, you're in the hospital on your deathbed, and a family member is saying, gee, I wonder if Aunt so-and-so is saved, or gee, I wonder if he ever accepted the Lord. Boy, that's a shame. I mean, really, this whole ride home from Indianapolis, I just kept thinking this. You know, shame on you. So if anybody in your immediate family does not know for sure that you are going to heaven, and I'm not talking about them knowing if they are going to heaven, which we should do too to make sure, but I'm talking about them. If anybody in your immediate family does not know that you are going to heaven, especially your immediate family, and what the Bible says about how to accomplish that, then especially shame on you. If people at work do not know that you are saved, shame on you. If people at your work don't know it, if people that you see every day do not know that you are saved, shame on you. There are all kinds of ways to be shamed, like the time in Luke 14:7. It says, and he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So Jesus talks here about, you know, where you should even sit at the feast. All right? And this has happened to me, unfortunately, both ways. You know, where I've gone in to some function and, you know, oh, I don't know what's going on. I plop down in the second row and, yeah, what happens? Well, hey, excuse me, sir, you know, get back, you know. And then I begin with shame to take the lower room, the lowest room, as it says in the Bible there. But I've also done the situation where I've sat in the back and a family member comes back there and says to me, no, come up closer. You're part of the family. And believe me, it's much better and nicer being asked to come up closer than being asked to get kicked back, all right? So, but this is talking about that shame, okay? You know, it's an honor being afforded the opportunity to come up here and preach. That's an honor. I appreciate that. And to be able to preach and teach the Word of God. And every preacher tends to get on his soapbox. Actually, I think they actually called it soapbox because the preachers used to get up on a soapbox. But they get up on their soapbox and they teach and preach about what they think is important. But what we need to do is to begin getting on our individual, you know, individual, you and you and you and you, getting on your individual soapbox, telling others about what's important. We need to start doing that. What's the most important thing in our life? And we all like telling people about things that are important to us, work and different things. Me, I love talking about pottery with people that will sit down and listen to me about pottery or painting the house down there. That was fun. It's interesting. And it's not a prideful thing and it's not a wrong thing. But if that's the only thing, then we got a problem. What is truly important to you in your life? And when someone gets to be 80 years old and no one knows for sure that you're a Christian, what was your interest during your life? What interested you so much what did you talk to your friends about? What was it? What took the place of telling them about, oh, I am happy, praise the Lord, I'm going to heaven? What took that place? And it's going to seem so minuscule, it's going to seem so petty when you get to heaven. We need to channel our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and make sure that people firstly know that we are saved, and secondly, how they too can be saved. And I think that's kind of that song, Channels Only, Blessed Master. I forget all the words, but actually the song was going through my mind last night, real late, early this morning. But Channels Only. I'm sure there were some other words in there that really pertain to what we're talking about. Look at that song again later on and read the words and study that. Channels, a channel, okay? Channels Only, Blessed Master. And we need to channel our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure that what we're doing is glorifying Him and telling others about it. The Bible says in Mark 8:38, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And Luke 9:26 says just about the same thing, okay? And in Romans 1:16, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So, if you are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, why aren't you talking about that to other people? Why can you be the age... I'm not going to keep using 80 because that really doesn't pertain here. Why can you be the age of 8 or 82 or 92? Oops, I think I got to Mrs. Lawrence back there. 92. You know, it doesn't matter what age you are. And you have friends or acquaintances that don't know if you're saved? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Are you ashamed of it? And it's one thing for me to stand up here and say, "Hey, shame on you," and I'm not politically correct, whatever they do. I'm pointing the finger. Do I have something in there? Oh. I'm telling you, it's a whole lot better for me to stand up here and say, "Hey, shame on you, and you, and you, and you," than for us to get to heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ say, "Shame on you." It says, "Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed." Of him also the Son of Man shall be ashamed. And that's talking about whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words. You know, I feel if you're not showing the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm not ashamed of your word, I'm not ashamed of it. And if we're not openly showing that, he is going to say, "Shame on you." And I just, it's one of those pet peeves, I guess. So that's the Lord Jesus Christ saying it, not just me. So, how do we get out of this shame? How do we break the pattern so people don't have to wonder, are we saved? Or how to be saved themselves? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So by studying the Bible, all right, by studying the Bible, you will make yourself approved unto God, and you will not need to be ashamed. But it just starts with studying the Bible, and it goes on to say, my next point is in Romans 5:5, where it says, And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. If something is shed abroad, all right, it does not mean that we keep it as a big secret. Oh, I got Jesus in my heart. You know, I feel like a... Doing all those little skits with Mrs. Arnold. I got Jesus Christ in my heart. No, but you know what? Boy, she's right on. Most of the times, every one of those things she does, yeah, well, but I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to tell anybody about him because I got him in my heart. No, shed abroad, it's talking about. I was going to ask you guys. So the song, This Little Light of Mine. You know what? We ought to be singing that in big adult church Sunday school. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. No, it out. I'm going to let it shine. Too often we let Satan spit our candle out. Too many times we just, you know, I don't know why, but there's some reason I can't talk to that person. So it doesn't mean that we should keep it as a big secret and try to let people guess whether or not I'm Christians, you know. I've heard that whole story too, you know. Well, everyone should know that I'm a Christian because I go to church, you know, every Easter. I even bought a new hat. Everyone should know that I'm a Christian because I give so much money to the church. And I'm sure to tell everybody about how much money I give to the church. So, you know, they should know it. They should know I'm a Christian. No, 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 no. This is not the way to do it. Shame on you. We need to study the word and hope because the love of God is shed abroad. And we should shed abroad this information that we have about us being saved and how others can attain it as well. So one thing is study, and then there's hope, but there's also believe. The Bible says in Romans 9:33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And in Romans 10:11, it says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So you believe in the scripture, and you shouldn't be ashamed. But it's also the action about that. You know, you believe, but and you're going to heaven, but you ought to be telling others about it. Because then there's also speak. Matthew 10:27, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. One of the songs said something about that, the darkness, what was it? We have a story to tell. We have a story to tell that shall turn their hearts to the right, a story of truth and mercy. There was something about darkness and light. Oh, for the darkness, yes, the chorus there. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. All right? And we need that. We need that, okay? We don't want that darkness. We want the light. So about a preaching on the housetops. And I know one of Dave's big things, he'll get up on his soapbox and preach about the street preaching, you know? And he understands, and I understand, it's not for everyone. That's not for everyone, but he is doing what the Bible says we should be doing, okay? He's doing what the Bible says we should be doing. Preach ye upon the housetops. But we are in our housetops, and we aren't even telling the people in our house about the Lord Jesus Christ. We aren't preaching at all. You may have parents or cousins and relatives that just don't even hear it. They don't know it. They maybe don't even know that you're saved. So we aren't preaching at all sometimes. We need to speak up. Like Luke 14:23 says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I always kind of like that, compel. We could do that. We could bring them in. We could really compel them to come in. But it says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Philippians 3:18 and 19 says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And too many times we want to love the things of the world. We want to fit in with the world. We want to act and be like the world. We just want everything to fall in place so we look like we're a part of the world. But these verses are saying, if you want to be an enemy of the cross, just mind earthly things. And whose glory is in their shame. They glory in that earthly stuff. People glory in being a part of the world. And that's glory is in their shame. I don't think I like that part, especially after that wedding yesterday about, and whose God is their belly. I definitely ate too much yesterday. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. And I want to conclude my message here to you that I say not these things to shame you, but as beloved sons, I warn you. It would be better if people looked at you and said or thought, sorry, I could, all right, I said I wasn't going to mention names until Jeremy came up. You know, when he came up in the phone company truck, people probably said, oh, here comes that Bible thumper again. You know what? That's good. It would be better that somebody says, hey, here comes that Bible thumper again, rather than you lying on your deathbed and have people not know for sure that you're saved. So again, do the people at your work know you are saved? Do the people at the checkout line know that you're saved? If they don't, shame on you. Shame on me. I think I've kind of told this story before, but Brother Ernie James from the dentist guy, Dr. James, used to be your dentist or something. Well, the first time I ever met that guy, I hadn't met him. My mom knows him better than I do, but first time I met him, he came up to me at the grocery store. I was just in the aisle doing stuff, and hey, brother, isn't the Lord great? You know, and said something and something else. I forget, you know, but boy, I knew he was saved. And he's walking around and he saw Kim in totally different parts of the store. And hey, sister, you know, isn't the beautiful day that the Lord Jesus Christ made? You know, whatever. Boy, he let it known right away where he stood. That's a good thing. Will people be surprised to see you in heaven? I'm pretty sure we will be surprised by some people that are there in heaven. Oh, I didn't know you were saved. You know, I think that's going to happen. But we will probably also be surprised about some people who we thought would be there and they're not there in heaven. So, about my pet peeves, I guess you know that one of these pet peeves is that people who are saved hide it under a bushel and they don't let it shine. That's perfect song for that. And there's a group of preachers I read about that were each asked something to the effect, and there was a news article about it or a television thing, and you know, okay, about your religion. And I forget how many different religions they had, but you know, what does it take to accomplish your religion? What does it take to get to heaven or nirvana or whatever they said? And not one of them, even the preacher who you know, we've heard him before. He knows how to get saved. He knows how to get to heaven. He knows what to tell the people. Everything else was all there, and he didn't bring us there. He stopped. That just blew my socks off. I couldn't understand it. He had an opportunity on nationwide TV, probably worldwide TV, to say something about what it takes to get saved, and he didn't. Unfathomable. Was he ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Shame on him for that. And let us not end up like that. You know, one time down at PBI time, Maggie, we were out going to the nursing home just on the way, and Maggie was over talking to some bum on the street, and I'm a little worried, you know, what are you doing? Just going in. And I walk up, and the guy's just saying, you know, I mean, it was like a textbook case here. Well, what do I need to do to be saved? And I'm like, oh, wow, how often do you hear that? Not very often. But what an opportunity. She was talking to him about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the guy says, well, what do I need to do? And she told him, and the guy got saved. I mean, you know, it works. Philippians 1:20 says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Have you magnified Christ in your life? Will people know when you die that you magnified Christ? In death, it says, whether it be by life or by death. When you die, will the people know that you magnified Christ in your life? So let us use this boldness to tell others about Christ. And I would like to challenge everyone in this room, you know, we could have a contest to see who can tell all their friends first, you know, about I'm saved and I'm so happy about it, and here's how you too can do it. You know, some people say, oh, you know, if one person just tells one person and that person goes and tells another and everybody does that, you know, in so many days the whole world would hear about it. You know, and that is a true mathematical situation. You know, it's the old, what would you rather have, $500,000 cash or one penny a day doubled for 30 days? Which would you rather have? Everybody said, oh, the $500,000. Yeah, well, you would have had millions if you would have stuck with the penny a day doubled. So that system works. A penny, then the next day it's two, the next day it's four, the next day it's eight, the next day it's 16. In 30 days, that's a whole bunch. And I had to sit down and figure it out one time. But that system does work. But it would still be more effective if we all just went out and told all our family, all our friends, I'm saved, I'm excited about it. Would you please tell your friends about it too? So, on a eulogy, this old man had died. A wonderful funeral was in progress, and the country preacher talked at length of the good traits of the deceased, what an honest man he was, and what a loving husband and a kind father he was. Finally, the widow leaned over and whispered to one of her children, go up there and take a look in the coffin and see if that's your pa in there. You know, that's good. You know what? Ooh, who are you talking about? Well, that kind of pertains to this too. What are people going to say when you die? Oh, I'm surprised. I didn't know he was saved. If they hear that from somebody else, what a shame. Let's not be shamed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of you, and I don't want you to be ashamed of me, Lord. I know I'm a dirty, rotten sinner saved by grace, but Lord, you saved me. I thank you for it. Help me to tell everybody about it. Help me not to be like that. Not people not knowing that I'm saved. And Lord, just be with us out throughout the day here and throughout the week, and help us to open our mouths, be bold, speak out in boldness unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty.